Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 25. Etad evatma bhurajan. Naradhaya vipritchate. Veda garbo vyadat sakshad. Yad aha harir atmanaha. Etad evatma bhurajan.
Etad evatma bhurajan.
Naradaya vipritchate.
Naradaya vipritchate.
Veda garbo vyadat sakshad.
Veda garbo
vyadat sakshad. Yad aha harir atmanaha.
On this matter.
Eva, exactly.
Atmabhu,
the firstborn Brahmaji.
Rajan,
my dear king, Naradaya, unto Narada Muni. Vipritchate, having inquired about it from Veda Garbha, one who is impregnated with Vedic knowledge from birth. Abhyadat, apprised. Sakshat, directly. Yat aha, what he spoke. Harihi, the Lord. Atmanaha, unto his own Brahma. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. My dear King, Brahma, the firstborn, on being questioned by Narada, exactly apprised him on the subject, as it was directly spoken by the Lord to his own son, who was impregnated with Vedic knowledge from his very birth. Purport. As soon as Brahma was born of the abdominal lotus petal, abdominal lotus petals of Vishnu, he was impregnated with Vedic knowledge, and therefore he is known as Veda Garbha, or a Vedantist from the embryo. Without Vedic knowledge, or perfect infallible knowledge, no one can create anything. All scientific knowledge and perfect knowledge are Vedic. One can get all types of information from the Vedas, and as such, Brahma was impregnated with all perfect knowledge so that it was possible for him to create. Thus, Brahma knew the perfect description of creation as it was exactly apprised to him by the Supreme Lord Hari. Brahma, on being questioned by Narada, told Narada exactly what he had heard directly from the Lord. Narada again told exactly the same thing to Vyasa, and Vyasa told Shukadeva exactly what he had heard from Narada. And Shukadeva was going to repeat the same statements as he had heard them from Vyasa. That is the way of Vedic understanding. The language of the Vedas can be revealed only by the above-mentioned disciplic succession, and not otherwise. There is no use in theories. Knowledge must be factual. There are many things that are complicated, and one can understand them, cannot understand them unless they are explained by one who knows. The Vedic knowledge is also very difficult to know and must be learned by the above-mentioned system, otherwise it is not at all understood. Shukadeva Goswami therefore prayed for the mercy of the Lord so that he might be able to repeat the very same message that was spoken directly by the Lord to Brahma, or what was directly spoken by Brahma to Narada. Therefore, the statements of creation explained by Shukadeva Goswami are not at all, as the mundaners suggest, theoretical, but are perfectly correct. One who hears these messages and tries to assimilate them gets perfect information of the material creation. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the second canto, fourth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Process of Creation. Brahma was born with the Vedic knowledge. It had to be awakened. He had to undergo his tapas, austerity, and he needed to receive the mercy of Lord Narayan. He got initiation from Lord Narayan. It's not that he has no spiritual master. The personality of Godhead is Brahma's spiritual master. And thus the Vaishnav disciplic succession begins from God himself. The knowledge is perfect because it is coming from the ultimate source of all knowledge. Sa sarva vid sarva gya. Yasya gyanamayam tapaha. This is the description of the qualities of the Supreme, who's not supposed to have any qualities. Those who misinterpret the Upanishads impersonally have a hard time explaining what the Upanishads are saying, because in every shloka, every mantra, the qualities of the Supreme are being described. How can the Supreme have no qualities if all the Vedas do are describe his qualities? Then either the Supreme is not without qualities, or the Vedas have no authority. The Vedas don't describe the Supreme, they describe something else that has qualities. One or the other. Either the Supreme does have transcendental qualities, or the Vedas, the Upanishads, are of no value. At least they don't talk about the absolute truth, because they talk, and they talk about the qualities of somebody. So sarva vid, sarva gya. He knows everything two ways, two different, said twice, sarva vid and sarva gya. That means, it's explained by Ranga Ramanuja Acharya of the Sri Sampradaya. He explains that mantra that it's not actually repetitive, it's not saying the same thing twice. Sarvagya means he knows all things. There is no thing that he doesn't know. And he's also Sarvagya. Every individual thing he knows everything about it. So he knows all things that are possible to know, and he knows each thing in complete detail. Therefore, all knowledge comes from him. There's nothing that he doesn't know. You want perfect knowledge? Get it from the source. Hare Krishna. Just like you want water, clean water, dig a well. Get your own water. Go to the source. Go down in the ground and get clean water. You want pure knowledge? Go to the source of all knowledge. But the source does not make himself accessible directly. Naham prakashak sarvasya yoga maya samavritaha. Mudoyam nabijanati mam ebyak paramavyayam. Because I choose to cover myself by my deluding potency, most people in this world cannot see me, cannot come and access me directly. So you want to know me? You want to communicate with me? You want to receive knowledge from me? You have to go to my representative. Tad vidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Approach The Vaishnavas, who are Krishna's representatives, inquire from them submissively. They will upadechyanti te jnanam. They will initiate you into the reception of this truth. Just like, okay, you want to communicate with your business, your customers and your friends, you need a telephone, go to the telephone exchange, pay your deposit, wait whatever time you have to wait. It used to be, when I lived in Bangalore, you had to wait 2 years unless you paid a bribe to get a phone. I don't know what the situation is today. Anyway, you go through the procedure, you get your phone through the phone exchange. You want to connect with the Supreme, you go to the official representative of the Vaishnav. And there's a procedure. Just like you fill the application form, pay a deposit, wait some time, you get your phone. So, tadvidi pranipatena pariprishnena sevaya. Approach the Vaishnav submissively. If you want to argue with them, you're wasting their time and yours. Vaishnavas are not interested in speculation and philosophical argument just for the sake of wasting time. They don't want to do it. If you want to discuss the absolute truth, you want to receive the original knowledge, that they can do. So approach with the attitude that I'm here to receive knowledge, not just to argue. That's represented by bowing down. Pranipata. We do this act of bowing down. In ancient China, everyone had to bow down to the emperor, called kowtowing, you know, 12 times or something. Every time the emperor showed up, everyone had to put his head on the ground 12 times. So that was just submission to the despot, you know, blind submission. But we bow down also, not simply as an act of self-negation, or because Krishna is such an egotist, he needs to be flattered. No, we bow down to God and we bow down to the representatives of God. Because this is the way we establish spiritual communication. We show that we are submissive, that we acknowledge that you know more than me and I want to hear, not just discuss things idly or argue. Pariprashna, then submit relevant questions in order to establish the communication. And then be ready to do some service, because that's what the whole thing is about, devotional service. So, upadekshanti te jnanam, the representatives of God can initiate you into the process, just like the bureaucrats at the phone exchange can arrange for you to get your phone. So the Vaishnavas can arrange for you to get your connection with the Supreme Lord. Our phone exchange is called the Guru Parampara, Sampradaya. Just like the phone exchange is a network. They come and string a wire to your house from the wire in the street, and somehow you're connected to the whole network. You can call anybody in the world through this little wire that's just going to a big wire in the street, because it's connected to the whole phone exchange network. So by connecting to a spiritual master, by accepting initiation from a Vaishnava spiritual master, you are connected to the whole network, to the Sampradaya. This is the original internet, Vaishnava Sampradaya. This internet is new. When I was last in India, 1988, there was no such thing. I went back to America and people told me about it. I never heard of it, this internet. But the original worldwide web is the Vaishnava Sampradaya. By connecting with your spiritual master, you're connected to the whole network, to all the Vaishnavas of the past, present, and future. You're connected to the eternal knowledge that comes through that network. That information, this is the original infinite information highway, the transcendental information, the revelation of the Supreme is coming through that parampara. So Brahma is the founder of it in this world. He's the creator of the world, and he's the founder of the particular Vaishnava Sampradaya that we belong to, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. He received the knowledge from Narayan himself, was his initiating spiritual master and his Shiksha Guru, Lord Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and then he met Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha. That is described in the third chapter of, I'm sorry, it's described in this, in also in the ninth chapter of the second canto. And then later in the, I think the 11th chapter of the third canto, described again, how Lord Brahma was brought to Vaikuntha and he received transcendental knowledge from Lord Narayan himself. And he passed it on. Brahma taught it to his son Narada. Narada taught Vyasa. Vyasa, who was born just before the beginning of Kali Yuga. So this is, again, already the modern times, only 5,000 years ago. Vyasa received the eternal Vedic knowledge from Narada. And in our succession, Sri Madhvacharya received Shiksha from Vyasa and also initiation. Hare Krishna. And then it's passed down through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So the method is to receive this knowledge. Initiation is just the beginning. That's why it is called in English initiation. In Sanskrit, the word is diksha, from the verb dish. Upadekshanti, the devotees will point out, will direct you to the truth. So diksha means to be pointed in the right direction, or actually to be connected with the source of knowledge. That is only the beginning. We have to cultivate the method of receiving this divine knowledge. Chakku dhano dilo ye janme janme prabhushe dibya gyan hriday prakashilo. This is the description by Narottama Das Thakur, who perfectly understands the method of receiving transcendental knowledge through the disciplic succession. He is a perfect example of a proper disciple. Narottam was the disciple of Lokanath Das Goswami, who was an intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but was very humble. He did not like to take an important position. Lokanath asked Krishnadas Kaviraj not to mention him in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we don't read about Lokanath Das Goswami, although he was a very prominent personal friend of Lord Chaitanya. But Krishnadas promised not to mention him, so we don't hear about him. He didn't want to take any disciples. But it was foretold that he would have one disciple, Narottam. Perfect devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Narottam was able to get initiation from Lokanath Das Goswami. And we are coming in that line. Lokanath Das Goswami, Narottam Das, then four generations later, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladeva Vidyabhushan, and then that passes on to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is at least our Shiksha line of disciplic succession. The method is, as taught by Narottam Das Thakur, we have to accept a spiritual master. We have to understand that he is our master life after life. Because not just one life, but we have an eternal debt and an eternal relationship with our spiritual masters. He has opened up our eyes, which were blinded by ignorance, and given us Krishna consciousness. Our debt, therefore, can never be paid back. And he goes on to say in the same song, Guru Mukha Padma Bhakyo Chitete Koriya Aikyo Ara Na Koriyo Mane Asha. We should accept the words that are emanating from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master. Chitete Koriya Aikyo. What do you do with those words? Do you put them on an altar, maybe have them laminated, copied onto your hard drive? Well, what Narottam Das Thakur says, Place them carefully within your heart. Quodia aikyo. And you must become convinced of the truth of these words. You must agree with them. So you may have doubts. You should raise the doubts, settle them, and actually come to an understanding and an agreement. Yes, sir, what you are saying is correct. This is standard procedure for Vedic pedagogy, how a teacher teaches. He says something to the disciple, the student should repeat what he's heard. And if he has any questions, any doubts, he should then ask. Those doubts, those misunderstandings should be corrected. Then the disciple should say, student should say, yes, sir, now I understand. Let's go on to the next thing. That's the method. Everything should be understood properly. All doubts should be resolved. Not that we simply accept blindly, without even understanding, without even believing, without really being convinced. We just pretend to accept. That is not the process. We can do that, but we don't have a strong foundation in transcendental knowledge. If we've accepted things without understanding them and without becoming convinced, we have to apply our intelligence. Intelligence has the function of accepting, rejecting, of doubting. So we should exercise this doubting. We should ask and have everything clarified wherever we have doubts. Then we become actually convinced. Chitte te kodiya aikya. Then we can say, yes, I agree. I am of the same opinion. Now I understand. Then you have knowledge. Not just whatever you say, I believe it, but it went in one ear and out the other. I didn't even really hear it in the first place. Or I heard it, but I don't really believe it, but I'm supposed to believe it, so I'll pretend to. That's not the full process. I don't know, Kodiya Mone Ash. And having accepted the precepts, the principles from the spiritual master, and understood them, and assimilated them, and found a place in the heart, then you must look out. Do I have any concepts, any ideas and opinions harbored in my heart from before that contradict what I just accepted? If I do, they have to go. Arna Kodiya Mone Ash. You should not maintain any contrary opinions. Once you've accepted, yes, I'm convinced, I've been convinced by all logic, my questions have been answered, I accept this as true, now what I've been thinking before must be given up. Whatever idea I had from before that contradicted what I now accept will have to be given up. I may have habits from the past of doing things that actually are not acceptable from the transcendental point of view. I have to give them up. I may have opinions from the past. They may have to be given up if they're not in accord with the transcendental knowledge I receive from the disciplic succession. I must adjust my attitude and my understanding to accord with the correct view. This is what we call orthodoxy. It's a harsh word, but it simply means having the correct opinions. There's orthopraxy, doing the right thing, but there's also orthodoxy, thinking the right thing. That is our process. It may seem authoritarian, but it is. It's coming from transcendental authority. That's how such knowledge, such spiritual knowledge, is actually received. Through an authoritative process, not authoritarian. Authoritarian is, you do what I say or I'll destroy you. That's authoritarian. Authoritative is, this is the correct understanding. Can you accept it? Do you have any questions? Here's the answer to your questions. Now do you accept it? Like Krishna spoke to Arjuna, elaborately the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. And then he told him at the end, after almost an hour's worth of discussing, just at the beginning of the battle, just before the battle was to begin, Usually you don't spend an hour discussing philosophy just before a battle begins. But this was a special situation. So Krishna explained everything carefully. He took the time. It's 18 chapters. And at the end of the 18th chapter he said, Vimushaitad asheshena yatechasitata kuru. Now you please carefully think over what I've told you. And you decide what you want to do and do it. I'm not going to force you. I was there in Hawaii in 1976 when Prabhupada was lecturing, and he quoted this verse in the morning class. And he paraphrased it in his own words, speaking as Krishna. Krishna told Arjuna in Prabhupada's words, I'm your spiritual master. I've given you good instruction. Now you do what you want to do. I'm not going to interfere in your nonsense. That's what Prabhupada said. Krishna is telling Arjuna, if you want to follow my instructions, please choose to, but do it on your own volition. I will not force you. And if you want to pursue some nonsense path, I will not interfere. You go ahead. Think about what I've told you and make your decision what you want to do. Fortunately, Arjuna answered, Nashto moha smitir labda twat prasadat mayachuta idanim asmi samvritta korishye vachanam tava. Now my illusion, my confusion is dispelled, and I've gotten back my good intelligence. My determination is fixed. I'll do what you ask me to do. That is the kind of what we call surrender, but that is intelligent, voluntary surrender. After understanding everything, hearing as much explanation as one needs to hear. We don't want to waste the spiritual master's time. But to ask him important spiritual questions is not wasting his time. That is what he's there for. He wouldn't be taking disciples if he didn't want to spend some time to train them up. It may take time and trouble to train them up, but if he doesn't train them up, then he's going to have a lot more trouble. So the spiritual master is usually willing to invest the time and trouble to answer the important questions of the disciple, especially the philosophical questions, so he understands everything properly. As much time as necessary should be taken. When the disciple understands what should be done and how to do it, then he can speak like Arjuna. My determination is fixed, and I'm ready to follow your instructions. Then something wonderful can be accomplished. Then the world can be conquered. We can conquer the world. Prabhupada also said, I was there in L.A. in 1975, the year before. No, it was in New York in 1973. Some 4 years before that. I was on the altar doing some service, and I heard Prabhupada saying that the Pandavas won the battle of Kurukshetra in 18 days. Krishna won the battle for the Pandavas in 18 days. But why 18 days? Krishna can take over the world in 1 minute. We can take over the world like wildfire. But we have to become ready for it. More or less, that's what Prabhupada said. Why 18 days? We can take over the world in 18 minutes. But we have to be prepared. We have to be convinced and ready to carry out Krishna's instructions the way Arjuna was. Okay, so we should study, we should ask questions, and we should come to a point that we're convinced, actually convinced, of the importance of this Krishna consciousness movement. Then we can conquer the world. Okay, so I'll stop. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, ma'am. No? Okay. Thank you. Oh, yes, please.
Now, Chaitanya has picked up the best from each Sampradaya.
Yes.
And he has given us the best.
Yes.
Should we still go to the other Sampradaya literature?
Should we? Okay. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has already distilled the essence of everything that's been taught by all the Vaishnava Sampradayas. We don't need, therefore, to separately study the teachings, you know, original teachings. We may, if we have an actual purpose for doing that. Everything we do, we should do as service, not just as idle entertainment. So if there's some reason for our service to know these things, sure, go ahead and study them. There may be a practical purpose for preaching, or for you have some scholarly work you have to do as part of your Krishna consciousness, and you need to have this background information, okay. But it's not essential for a devotee's individual understanding. You can become fully Krishna conscious just by studying Prabhupada's books is enough. But you may have a reason. It's not forbidden. But we shouldn't spend time on things that are not any practical use for Krishna's service, whatever it is. Studying or doing anything should be done as service. It should be authorized, it should be planned out carefully. Studying books takes a lot of time. It's a big distraction if we're doing it without a good reason. So Rupa Goswami said, don't read little pieces of a lot of books. That's how he said it. Small fragments of many books. You pick up a book, read a few pages, throw it aside, get another book, and you're just, a dilettante. You want to, be able to say that you've read a whole stack of books, so you just read a few paragraphs from each. Unsystematically and not thoroughly. When we study thoroughly. Vedic education, the traditional system where you go to a pundit and study. After studying for 12 years, you may have only read a few books, but you read them thoroughly, and you're an expert. A trained up pundit may only know a small handful of books, but he knows them backwards and forwards. Go to the university and get a PhD, you've read hundreds of books, but superficially. So the traditional system is study a few things, but study them in complete depth. Like that. We could study, but we should study thoroughly and properly if we're going to do it. Okay?
How about associating with other Vaishnava, another sampradaya?
Again, if it serves a particular purpose for Krishna's service, yes, we can associate with everybody. To preach or to help organize the preaching. Maybe you want to receive some information from them. But as far as getting the basic direction of your spiritual life, we should get that from our own sampradaya. We've accepted initiation in this sampradaya. That means our allegiance is to this one first. So our whole worldview has to be centered around the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We shouldn't be too eclectic. We have a particular kind of Krishna consciousness as it was taught by Lord Chaitanya. So we have to mainly practice that, and that's our main interest. The style of devotional service of other sampradayas is different. There's more emphasis on studying the Vedanta Sutra. We study Srimad Bhagavatam. Other sampradayas emphasize more studying Vedanta and teaching Vedanta. We can look at Vedanta, but our prime Shastra is Bhagavatam. We can understand Vedanta if we know Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam comes first. We shouldn't lose that focus. Our primary process, method of devotional service is Harinam, is chanting. Other sampradayas, they put more emphasis on deity worship. There's a difference. So we shouldn't just forget that we're an individual sampradaya with a special style. We shouldn't think it's all the same. We can go to the other sampradayas, but realize that you're dealing with people who have a different approach, more or less, to devotional service. And we shouldn't lose our own identity. We belong to our sampradaya, first of all. Then we may have useful business with other sampradayas, and we should establish the unity of all devotees of the Lord also. We should work together with them. Our common enemy is this materialism and atheism. It is Mayavad nonsense. The Vaishnavas should work together. So that should be organized. That requires communication. But that, again, should be done properly and competently. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
But it's the same question. many devotees come from Sri Sampradaya or other Sampradayas.
Yes.
They come to our Sampradaya, they follow, like you said, prominent is Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting Sri Rams or Srinam. But still they have dualities. Like sometimes these devotees, they take initiation in the childhood and they follow perfectly. They are very pure in their behavior and their attitude. But still they have that attitude. What is our ISKCON rules for such devotees for initiation?
Actually, if someone already has bona fide Vaishnav initiation in one of the other sampradayas, we don't need to reinitiate him. We would encourage everybody to take the chanting of Krishna's names very, very seriously and study Srimad Bhagavatam and work together to preach. So devotees who are already initiated and committed, you know, followers of other sampradayas, they can continue their allegiance and work together with us. They can join ISKCON without getting reinitiated. In some cases, someone wants reinitiation, or there may have been an irregularity in the initiation. It may not have really been bona fide, or the devotee hasn't practiced, you know, he hasn't chanted, he hasn't done his Gayatri for years. So maybe, there's some cases there may be a reason for reinitiation, but it's not absolutely necessary. You have bona fide Vaishnav Diksha that is already there. You can join our Sampradaya on the basis of Shiksha without taking reinitiation. You can work with us, you can become a member of ISKCON. It doesn't necessarily require reinitiation if you already have it. So we should, you know, consider that. We shouldn't automatically reinitiate everybody who already has Vaishnav initiation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had many followers from all the sampradayas. You know, and then his own sampradaya was established after his disappearance. There was no Gaudiya sampradaya per se when Lord Chaitanya was present. Of course, the devotees, you know, there was beginning of the disciplic succession. Initiation was being given. So in effect, the sampradaya was there, but it wasn't really organized until after Lord Chaitanya's disappearance. So, and some of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had allegiance to other sampradayas, they maintained it, but they also became followers of Lord Chaitanya. So all the sampradayas should recognize Lord Chaitanya and they should work together.
For such devotees, there is entrance for Goloka or Vaikuntha? We hear that.
Yeah. Well, you need Harinam. You need to perform Nam Sankirtana. But technically speaking, you don't need special initiation into that. If you already have Vaishnav Diksha, then you can receive Harinam, even informally, from a pure Vaishnava in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and by Shiksha, even without reinitiation, you can gain entrance into Goloka, even on the strength of Shiksha. Receiving the Harinam, even informally, and receiving guidance in the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That doesn't require formal reinitiation if someone is already initiated as a Vaishnava. Does anybody disagree with that?
You can get Harinam initiation.
Even without the Harinam initiation? Okay, well, we can give Harinam initiation, but... Yeah, you can, or even cannot. You can chant Hare Krishna even without that initiation. If you already have Diksha, then you could say that it's not even required to reinitiate. Someone wants to take it, wants to have special allegiance, but, you know, you can have a disciple-guru relationship on the basis of Shiksha. Diksha is not the only thing. Diksha is required, but if somebody already has Diksha, then why reject it? He has a bona fide Diksha, why redo it? He can have complete allegiance to a Vaishnav without the formality even, just on a Shiksha basis. Many of our great Vaishnavs, their relationship with who we consider their spiritual master was a Shiksha relationship, not a Diksha relationship. So the relationship on the basis simply of instruction can also be just as strong, as long as the formality of Diksha is fulfilled.
There, I've seen some family, the initiation is something like a kind of family tradition. They
yes.
The guru and the whole family follows.
Yes.
And the child is born, gets initiated.
So in that kind of case where it's just a Kula Guru gave a formal initiation and there wasn't really any Shiksha involved, then the ISKCON initiating spiritual master should examine that situation and decide whether or not to reinitiate. That has to be judged individually. Okay. In many cases, reinitiation has been given, but it should be considered carefully. You know, because it's offensive. If someone has bona fide initiation, why reject it? That's actually an aparad. Okay. Yes, Prabhu. They take from someone else. I mean, if the diksha wasn't, if someone took initiation but that did nothing about it, didn't practice any sadhana for many years, well, upanayanam, if someone doesn't chant the Gayatri, he should take upanayanam again, usually from the same person. You know, you go back and get reinitiation for not just run to somebody else, but anyway, yes. If there was formal initiation, a ceremony, but then no sadhana, then practically the initiation wasn't there. Yes, or if you're going to join the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you can take initiation, from a Gaudiya Vaishnava. If your initiation really didn't amount to anything because you never did any sadhana. Okay? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to stir up controversy by this. Yes, ma'am. Well, it's not that our line is only a shiksha line. We don't lack the diksha disciple succession. But just like on our altar, we have our parampara. That's a shiksha parampara, actually. Our diksha parampara, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's diksha was from Bipin Bihari Goswami. He's not on the altar. He goes back to Janava Devi. So it's a bona fide, and that goes back to Nityananda Prabhu. So our line of diksha goes back through Janava Devi to Nityananda Prabhu. What we have on the altar is our shiksha line. So we do consider our shiksha line more prominent, but it's not that we have no diksha line, it's there. We have bona fide connection by diksha also. Some say that we don't, but we do. Okay? Shiksha may be more prominent because of who the great personalities are who gave the shiksha, but the diksha is also there. That requirement is also fulfilled. Diksha is when you receive the mantra by initiation. You can have only one diksha guru. You only receive the Vaishnava mantra once. But you can have many shiksha gurus who give you guidance and instruction in the teachings of Krishna consciousness. That's the main thing. The diksha is the formality of actually receiving the mantra. And it's only done once. And then your diksha guru becomes the final arbiter. If there's differences of opinions, if you have more than one shiksha guru, any difference of opinion among them is settled by the opinion of the diksha guru. His opinion comes first. So he has prominence, precedence among all the gurus that you may have. You have to have one center, one final opinion that rules, and that's the opinion of the diksha guru. And one should always maintain respect for the diksha guru. Even if you're receiving shiksha from somebody else, you should never disrespect or directly contradict the diksha guru. If we do, then we're committing aparad and we're in trouble. Okay? Sure. Okay, so we can stop here. Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.